of young Black Panthers, including Deputy Chairman Fred Hampton of Chicago, Illinois. There, police, armed with submachine guns, shot Captain Mark Clark of Peoria, Illinois, and Deputy Chairman Fred Hampton as he slept in his bed next to his pregnant wife. Both Mark and Fred were killed. At least seven other Panthers were wounded by police gunfire as they laid in their beds. Not a single cop was ever charged with these murders or the aggravated assaults on members of the Black Panther Party. Next spring marks the 30th anniversary of the MOVE bombing, where cops dropped bombs from a helicopter and killed 11 men, women, and children, members and relatives of the Black naturalist group MOVE. 11 people burned and or shot to death, and two city blocks in Philadelphia turned to red bricks and ashes. And again, not a single cop ever even charged with anything. Only MOVE member Ramona Africa would ever go to jail, prison I should say, for riot for 7 years. The movement protesting police terrorism is a remarkable thing, but it didn't begin yesterday. Police terrorism is decades long, and it ain't about rotten apples or broken windows. It's about blocking a popular freedom movement and protecting a system of repression. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. I'm Jared Dantzler.
And I'm Emily Young. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Wednesday Talk Radio, host Paul Rowland speaks with Ted Gleichman of the Oregon chapter of the Sierra Club about efforts to keep huge natural gas exports terminals out of Oregon. At 9, Angelica Lim and Joseph Gonzalez of the Portland Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines talk about For Whom We Rise Together, an International Human Rights Day at Portland State University. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, on the Dirtbag, Glenn Andreessen welcomes representatives of two area beekeeping associations, Tim Wessels from Portland Urban Beekeepers and Tom Chester from Portland Metro Beekeepers, to talk about getting started in beekeeping and events in the new year. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support for your community radio station. You helped us exceed our goal in our recent mini-membership drive. Thank you.
Woohoo!
Stay tuned now for KBOO In Depth with your host tonight, Jared Dantzler.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
On December 18th at 2 p.m., the Portland City Council will convene and discuss possible withdrawal from involvement with the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force, a nationwide coalition of police which serve to respond to terrorist threats. Today, I spoke with local voices regarding Mayor Charlie Hales and the history of the Joint Terrorism Task Force here in Portland. KBOO News. I'm here speaking with Martha Gies. Martha Gies is a local writer, teaches creative writing these days, and used to teach at Lewis and Clark College, a human rights course. Welcome, Martha. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Jared, for inviting me. I need to say right off of Jump Street that I like
Mayor Charlie Hales, and I share his alleged skepticism about the JTTF, the Joint Terrorism Task Force. Backing up about 18 months in his first year as mayor, Hales very quietly ordered those irritating security turnstile checkpoints removed from the lobby of the Portland building. We've noticed that since 9/11, a lot of buildings, airports obviously, but also government buildings and private buildings, have spent a fortune on security cameras, staffing, metal detectors, full-body scanners, and so forth. And great fortunes have been made in this industry. But a climate of fear has to be developed for people to accept this distrust as the norm. So I find that terror theater, which I call it, despoils our public buildings, and surveillance obviously robs us of our privacy and liberty, and neither of us keeps us safe, let alone free. So I was pleased when Mayor introduced a little trust and hospitality into our civic life when he just quietly pulled the guards and the machines out of the Portland building. And I've been on his side ever since. So now his goal is for the police bureau to improve community relations. That's his goal for the police bureau. And heaven knows that it is timely here in Portland. We have problems. We all know that. And all over the country, as police departments become increasingly militarized and racism is allowed to go unchecked. And this is important. Mayor Hales knows it's important. It's what he wants to work on. And I think he needs our involvement and our support. So meanwhile, he's questioning how well served we've been by participating in the JTTF. That's a program that has very different goals. They want to catch terrorists, even if it means creating them in order to catch them. A second big problem for mayors and police, and definitely for citizens, is that the FBI has a worse track record than local police when it comes to racism and when it comes to civil rights. All through the 60s and 70s, I remember this period, they were hounding the Red Power movement and the Black Power movement and pretty much anyone publicly against the Vietnam War, using illegal tactics of their counterintelligence program. We call that COINTELPRO. So I think after 9/11, we were ready to give the FBI another chance, but then two serious problems surfaced. One is this city, which we know the most about, was never considered a full partner in the JTTF. It operates more like an enhanced FBI unit with some extra free cops at its disposal. When Mayor Tom Potter, who had nearly three decades as a cop himself, including police chief, couldn't get security clearance to be brought in on the secret workings of the JTTF, we knew we had a problem. Secrecy is a huge ingredient in everything that's gone wrong with our democracy. I feel that Portland has not been well served by the JTTF. Dozens of cities have similar stories. At first, it looks like they were catching a lot of domestic terrorists, but then it began to seem like they were helping create them and then catching them. And it's been years now that the New York Times finally caught on and started using the word sting in their editorials. So let's look quickly at the first three Portland cases. Here in Portland, we had a front row seat for several spectacular arrests. And the first three were the Somali-born prayer leader of a Southwest Portland mosque was arrested at the airport in September of 2002, allegedly with traces of cocaine and explosives on his luggage. That still amuses me as a cocktail, cocaine and explosives. So then, after that, a Chinese studies scholar from a well-known Portland family in October of 2002 was arrested on charges of attempting to travel to Afghanistan to fight alongside the Taliban. And then, in May 2004, a local lawyer was arrested as a material witness because his fingerprints allegedly implicated him in the Madrid train bombing. Both the scholar, who is black, and the lawyer, who is white, are adult converts to Islam. None went to trial. Not Imam Carrier, because the illegal substances were found to be imaginary. Nor did Brandon Mayfield, who neither blew up a train or, for that matter, ever even traveled to Spain. And these two bogus arrests did, however, alert us to the pressure exerted on the FBI to make arrests, any arrests. Since then, Trevor Aronson, in the book he published last year called The Terror Factory, has exposed how the FBI has, under the guise of engaging in counterterrorism since 9/11, in fact, built a network of more than 15,000 informants whose primary purpose is to infiltrate Muslim communities, to create and facilitate phony terrorist plots so that the Bureau can then claim it is winning the war on terror. Here are a few points made by the FBI in front of the House Appropriations Committee in March of this year. This is introducing and justifying their 2015 budget. These are their statements. You can read this on their website. Today's FBI is a threat-focused, intelligence-driven organization. Just as our adversaries continue to evolve, so too must the FBI. We live in a time of acute and persistent terrorist and criminal threats to our national security. We disrupt threats using our law enforcement powers through our Joint Terrorism Task Forces, JTTFs. The Boston Marathon bombings of April 2013 remind us that the terrorist threat against the United States remains persistent. You know, Jared, that sentence, that particular sentence off their website and the speech they gave in front of the House Appropriations Committee bothered me, because if you Google now, today, Boston Marathon bombings, there's a lot of speculation about how there was much earlier contact between the FBI and the Tsarnaev brothers, mm-hmm. and a lot of concern about what's happened to the witnesses that knew them. So I found that problematic, that they're using that as justifying their budget. So their budget is $8.3 billion. That's what they're asking for in direct budget authorities, including almost 35,000 positions, full-time job positions. So with that kind of money and manpower, I don't think they need a few Portland cops who are not even allowed to tell their mayor or their chief what they're up to once they're on the JTTF. I do want to say that I think that the FBI can do and has done some good. They claim also in that same budget justification that the FBI continues to pinpoint the most egregious offenders of mortgage fraud. I think that's a fabulous thing for them to be working on. And they say that public corruption is their top criminal priority. And I think we see a lot of evidence of places they could be at work there. Which reminds me that they were at one time, I think maybe 2004, looking into the huge no-bid contracts to Halliburton. That seemed worthwhile, though I don't remember if they ever got around to checking any correlation between those contracts and Vice President Cheney's net worth, which went from $1 million to about $60 or $70 million annually net worth in that period of time that those no-bid contracts were coming in. So I think we should let the FBI investigate the banksters and let the mayor download the JTTF and get on with the business of building trust and transparency between the community and the police. And that as a community, we should be sensitive to making black kids feel safe, even male Somali black kids, rather than set them up as terrorists. And as you know, Judge Gar King just sentenced Muhammad to 30 years. On October 1st,
Hales has said regarding the task force, quote, "I'm concerned the JTTF is one more case of specialized assignments dealing with the threat of the month rather than dealing with the consistent issue of community policing."
See, that's brilliant. I mean, I think this is a hopeful moment for us, not just not working with the JTTF. What I really care about is that he's focused on policing. He's focused on creating trust and transparency between the community. It's a big job now. We've just had too many shootings. But I've been a cop. I was a deputy sheriff in Marion County here. And I know that the minute you put on a uniform and walk outdoors, people avert their eyes. You're pretty much non-looked at, like the homeless are non-looked at. And so it's a matter of trusting the police, training the police, and bringing them back into the human family, reducing their fear level. I don't think police shoot kids because it's fun. I think they shoot them because they're scared. And I think that unless you're riding a horsey and the citizens want to pet it, mostly people look at you with a great deal of distrust. And that cannot be helpful at all psychologically. It's probably why police have the highest divorce rate of any. You know, you can't take this stuff home. You're kind of crazed with it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that people will go to this city council meeting on the 18th at 2 o'clock when they're going to consider this issue. And if you can't go, I hope that people will write letters to all the city councilmen and certainly to Mayor Hales and explain that we're behind him and we really hope to work on community policing issues here. We need it. We really need it badly now. We're all hurting from this.
Martha, thank you so much for joining us here at KBOO today.
Thank you, Jared.
We've been speaking with Martha Gies, local writer and longtime activist. Thank you so much. I'm Jared Dantzler with KBOO News.
This song could go on without any end till you realize that your car is not your friend. We're all car addicts, let's just say no. Then those cars will have to go.
Help support KBOO Community Radio by donating your used car, truck, motorcycle, boat, or any other vehicle. We'll transform that old machine into resources for unserved and underserved communities, free training, recording equipment, and great programming for the Portland metro area, Cascadia, and the world. For more information, call 1-877-526-6123. That's 877-KBOO123.